Hey, everybody, it's Andy from 90s Court, your best friend and your pal. And, of course, with me as always...
Lisa. It's just me, Lisa.
It's just her, Lisa.
It's just me, Lisa. Hi. Hi, everyone.
I like that you're just like, I'm just going for it.
I'm just going to wing it.
I'm going to roll past this entire thing that Andy's doing and just kind of go forward because I had nothing, so you're
good. I'm the other one. No, man. I mean, you would think by episode 66 I would be less awkward at intros. No, sir. I will not.
Yeah, it feels like for intros, like, we could just do a standardized intro,
but
we don't want to do that. It's not that we can't. It's just that we don't want to.
We don't want to.
So for those of you, though, who are not familiar with what 90s Court is, because, I mean, honestly, this is something very specific, so you might be listening to this for your first episode.
True.
90s Court, we take two things from the 90s. You know, maybe they started a little before the 90s. Maybe they continued beyond the 90s. It's kind of hard to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we put them together in court, where we each discuss the pros and cons of each of them, and then we put them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and have you, the jury, decide. And then also, beforehand, the first half of the show, we'd like to talk about a few things from the 90s. Maybe some smaller things that wouldn't warrant an entire case, maybe only have like a one paragraph thing on Wikipedia, and nothing else.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's the show. So welcome aboard, everybody. And Lisa, how was your week?
You mean the end of my year? It was wild.
How was the end of your year?
I did so many things last week. I had my final storm chase of the year was December 31st. I chased on Christmas Eve to Galveston, Texas. I saw
so wild.
Nothing, not even like a really good bolt of lightning. It was whack. Aww. I drove 8 hours on Thursday. It was awful.
Not even lightning. Wow.
Not even. It was just a lot of really heavy rain. Houston sucks. So,
I mean,
it's okay.
There's so little to do, like, that's anything cool that I'd be like, I'm willing to just drive for no reason for several hours.
Well, I got myself landlocked by a little inlet of water from the Gulf, and then I was just like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going home. I've been on the road for 3.5-4 hours. I want to go home now. So I did that, and then I also started another podcast, which I can talk about in a little bit or now.
Oh, no big deal.
No big deal.
Let me tell you a little bit about my week, and then we'll get into talking about Lisa Pants' new thing, which is super dope.
Yeah. Okay. So
my little brother got married on New Year's Eve, which was super cool. He got it canceled back in June, and then got it canceled again on New Year's Eve at this one place because of everything. And he basically just said, "Screw it, we're just going to do a very, very small get together with about 17 of us in one location." Which is obviously a huge money saver, but also just super proud of him. It was a beautiful place, beautiful wedding, and super happy to be there for it. And then it snowed just a whole bunch last night. Like, it was out of the blue. They were projecting 1 inch of snow, and my town got 9 inches of snow.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is apparently a lot of places that are just within, like, 20 miles of me got like 2 inches. So I don't know. Apparently it was just like, fuck Monticello, we're just gonna destroy
Wasn't
your
it,
town.
Maybe it was the cloud from Rocko's Modern Life's Christmas special.
It was. It knew I had the Christmas spirit, even though it was a little bit late and just
exactly.
needed to just pound me with it. So but yeah, no, Lisa has a new show. I did listen to it and I love it and I want her to talk about it.
Sure. Real quick, I had an idea for like a New Year's resolution for myself that I extended the invitation to my husband to join me for. I listen to a lot of music, but historically I've always just listened to like a single from an artist or an album.
Same.
And I'm really bad about enjoying albums as a whole / giving any kind of musician that I don't know and love any kind of fighting chance. So my New Year's resolution turned podcast was to listen to classic albums from start to finish with no skips at all. And then like just learn about some musicians that like I don't know any like really anything from Elvis, Beach Boys, et cetera. The one I'm the most ashamed to not know much of is the Beatles. So that's on there. But so I started a podcast called the No Skips Podcast. My husband, Jack, is my co-host on the show. Episode 1 is available. I think we're on most everything now except for Stitcher and Apple Podcasts, but that's all coming. But it's called the No Skips Podcast. Episode 1 was Radiohead's Kid A. We had a great time with that one. And I may drop episode 1 in the feed at some point for you guys just to get some exposure to it. We had a blast recording it. So episode 2 is coming out this next week. It'll be Prince, which will be a challenge for me, but we're going to be tackling that soon. So that's what I did. over my summer vacation.
Awesome. That's the episode of Pete and Pete. What I did on my summer vacation. Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, no, but for sure, everybody tune in. Like I told her, I was like, I dropped you an Almost Fascination in our feed. Why don't we drop some of that so that way people can get a listen, especially since it's not on all platforms yet. So,
yeah.
So anyways, as I discussed, we do have some things that we like to discuss on this show, and I believe it's Lisa's turn to go first this week.
It is. I'm happy to go first this week. I am talking about an idea from a link from one of our Patreon supporters, Lindsay. She sent something over a few weeks ago, and I've been kind of scouring it once in a while just to be like, what do I want to talk about? You know, if there's not something that's automatically singing to me. Andy, do you remember how good it felt to just sit down in the 90s?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I thought you were going to say, I was going to make a joke about sitting down in general, but apparently that's really what you were saying.
No.
I do recall how great it was to sit down in the 90s. Also now.
Like, we had so many choices of places to sit down in the 90s, like, for instance, the ground.
Uh-huh. Okay, check.
The swing at the park that someone would like flip over the top too many times, check. So it's about 7 inches too high for you to reach.
Yeah, just give me that like leather, thick piece of leather attached with two chains. Like, that's all I need.
Yes. Your dad's lazy boy.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Or if you were really lucky, and I'm talking really, really lucky, mm-hmm. you could retreat to your room where you not only had a bed to sit on, but a chair filled with air.
A blow-up chair?
An inflatable chair.
What?
Did you have one?
I did not ever have that, no.
Are you familiar with this
concept? I have beanbag chairs, but not...
But inflatable chair. Did you know anybody?
I'm familiar with the concept. Don't think... it's just, I think it takes up a lot of room is the only thing. Like, at least most of the inflatable chairs I remember would be... Plus, I'm just, like, really big, so I don't want to steal. Like, I don't want to risk it for the biscuit on that one.
Risk it for the biscuit. I'm stealing that.
Good.
In hindsight, they are huge. You're right. They are unnecessarily large for what they
but
are.
But we wanted that back in the 90s. We're like, hey, look at all this. Look at how big this stuff is.
We did like big
stuff.
This
is only $20.
This is true. I know I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but I do know that inflatable chairs did not originate in the 90s itself, but of course had their start the late 60s, early 70s. I know, but they had a resurgence in the 90s thanks to people liking dumb shit. And so I distinctly remember having one. I want to say it was like a rich blue, like kind of a deep blue. Oh. I can't remember if it was exactly blue, but I do know that it came from the store Claire's.
Nice. Do you know what the change was between like the 60s and the 90s? Like, did they get rid of the asbestos and fiberglass that was normally made of? Or
no, in fact, they put more of that in
they
there.
They put more. They were like, we need more of that shit. Good.
Yeah. They definitely added way more. The 90s were rough and tumble time. Mm-hmm. So I had the blue one. I distinctly remember that a friend of mine had a South Park themed one. And that is like the penultimate cool flex.
Oh, absolutely.
It was the best. So if you were a really girly girl, you probably, if you had an inflatable chair, you probably had the Britney Spears one. And there's a good chance you had that one because it was like semi-transparent purple and it had flowers and crap on it. And it
is there
a
special name? Because I want to look these up right now because I am not picturing what you're talking about with these different designs.
If you just look up inflatable, like 90s inflatable chair.
Okay.
If you go to like Google Images, I want to say the Britney Spears one is within the top four rows.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh, these are huge. They have full ass couches.
They have like settees. They basically have like sectionals that are inflatable.
Like, I think some of these look like they double as toilets too. You can just like shit in there. They have this little hole in the middle. Like, I'm looking at this one that has a little hole in the middle.
Is that like a storage compartment for all your like X-Acto knives? Your butt stuff? This is my inflatable chair where I store butt stuff and X-Acto knives.
All of my butt stuff.
And don't worry about it.
Why X-Acto knives?
Because they're so sharp and you're just living on the edge.
Oh, okay. Just to keep it a little bit risky.
What was
I gotcha.
It? Risk it biscuit? What was it?
Risk it for the biscuit.
Okay. I'll get it right. I won't get it right. I'm going to try. So I remember there also being footstools, which you can probably see if you're looking online right now. And there were also like larger size sofas, but I was only lucky enough to ever have the one. And these are one of those things that like in the theory of it, it sounds rad. As a preteen, you couldn't ask for anything cooler in your room than an inflatable chair. I'm pretty sure of it. But like it has to be one of the most impractical things ever. Because like you said, they're enormous. And like in many ways, how could you not treat it like an oversized beach ball?
I feel like if I were to enter a room of like a friend's house when I was younger or something like mm-hmm. that, and like there was the choice between this or just like a metal folding chair, I would probably go with the metal fold, because I'm like, honestly, this is going to be more uncomfortable probably than the metal folding chair.
You're probably right. You're probably exactly right with that. You're absolutely right. So
I figure it'd probably just like fall over a lot of the time too, because yeah. it's not balanced very well.
No, and not to mention that kids and teens, like preteens, they don't know how to conduct themselves in any capacity.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that sitting down heavily on them meant like it was just going to instantly bust.
Right.
Or if it began to slowly leak, you're much too lazy at 11 to 15 to breathe into it, to refill it time after time.
Yeah, you're like, it's fine. You'll be okay. And then
heal itself. Yeah. No, it won't. It's an inflatable chair. And then eventually over time, it'll just deflate until you've got like a soggy piece of humid plastic just sitting in the corner yeah. of your room underneath all your JNCO jeans.
And you could just, when people come over, just like, here, yeah, we don't have any chairs in here, but if you want, we do have my plastic blanket over there if you want to throw that over
blanket. I could also put some more JNCO jeans on the floor for you to sit if you want to be really comfortable. So at the same time I had inflatable chairs, I also definitely had like the plastic beaded curtains, which like it's its own other thing. Like that may have to be something I talk about separately as a thing later, but I definitely had that at the same time.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get an official ruling on this. Like the judges are kind of looking at me right now and they're saying that we can't really break into that one.
Not yet. I'm dropping
judges,
it right then.
Yeah,
we're but, judges. But I beg of you. Mm-hmm. I beg of you to close your eyes and imagine the best 90s kids bedroom ever. And it definitely has an inflatable chair in the corner opposite the room from one of those cool like candy colored iMac G3s. You remember the ones I'm talking about that had like the teal and pink and yellow backings on the like monitor?
What are you talking about? I'm sorry. What device
just,
are you
just
talking
about? Look up iMac G3.
Oh, you're talking about iMac. I was looking up beaded curtains still, so.
Oh, no, but those were definitely in the kids' bedroom that had the G3.
The iMac G3 is still the dopest design for a computer ever.
Yeah, I saw one at a, we'll talk about this another time because this is something that's so amazing. I never had one.
That's such a
so
big
sad.
Commitment to pick a color, though. Like,
this is true.
Because yeah.
what if you wanted pink and then you started going through like a tomboy phase or like,
I mean, because whatever color you get, it's going to get old. You like, can't we just like get removable skins on this thing where you can
nope,
like take off the
it.
Back, swap
no.
it to orange? All right,
no,
well.
Absolutely. Oh, and also in that same bedroom, that iMac G3 is definitely playing the Flying Toaster screensaver. You know what I'm
yes.
talking about. I see that
the
in my
song
dreams.
Was so, and this has a song, right, that it plays?
I don't remember a
There's
song.
There's sometimes I've at least heard like one, seen one where a song starts playing for the Flying Toaster. It's not, maybe not a song, but it has like the lyrics on the screen.
Ooh.
Like it's like bam, 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 bam.
We're gonna have to look this up.
Yeah.
This is homework. Okay. 90s court homework. So anyway, that's inflatable furniture. Inflatable furniture and also
inflatable
lava lamps.
Inflatable furniture.
I can't just name drop lava lamps and then mic drop. Actually, mic drop. I'm using a proper microphone this week if my audio sounds different. So don't at me. Unless
don't
you want to at me.
Me
and be like, he sounds so much better. Then you can at me.
Yeah. Only at her if it's going to be a compliment. Otherwise,
exactly.
Piss right off.
Yeah. So what is your thing?
All right. So Drunkle Andy over here, who just like basically just you and your friends were all together having a good time and you were expecting like your dad to come in and like just kind of teach you guys about something. But instead your Drunkle Andy came into the room and you're like, oh, not him again. And you're like, yep, it's Drunkle Andy, whose internet has been out most of the day. And so he just threw some shit together and you're going to get the raw ass shit from your Drunkle here. So,
okay.
So I have decided something that I've wanted to do for a while. And I keep thinking like, should it be a court case? But I'm like, I can't even find enough to feel like comfortable doing this as a thing. So I'm mm-hmm. definitely not going to do it as a court case in the future. So I want to talk to you guys about a delicacy for the chitlins.
Ooh.
When I was a child, that came out in 1988, but was an absolute banger through the entire 90s. Still technically exists, but only in name. We're talking about motherfucking shark bites.
Shark bites?
Talking about shark bites. Motherfucking shark bites, fruit snacks.
Do I have to Google motherfucking shark bites?
You don't have to type in motherfucking sharks. I'm sorry. You know what? I think I already blew all my curse words like 2 weeks ago, so I think I'm good for the rest of the episode. Shark bites.
Shark bites.
Chewy fruit snacks.
So, shark bites!
Yeah, you see them and you'll be like, oh, these.
Yes!
Because like then you have the packages that have like the yellow shark and the white shark, and they look weirdly realistic. But basically, like, for a long time, were the best fruit snacks you could get on the market. Like, for sure. Obviously, Gushers and everything like that was great. It feels like these were kind of even, like, precursors to the Gushers and all the fruit by the foots and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, why were these amazing, you ask? So, okay. In addition to be shaped like sharks, which is really a requirement for fruit snacks to be good, if you ask me, like, I can get some, like, some fruit smiles from Walmart and get, like, you know, like, 72 packs of them for, like, $4. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I'm treating myself, I'm getting, like, some dinosaurs or some shit. But, like, the problem was is that most places, most fruit snack companies that made a shape that was really popular kind of phoned it in because they're like, people are going to buy it because of the shapes anyway, so who cares if it's bad?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
These, on the other hand, had one thing that everyone remembers and then multiple things. They would have specials like throughout the existence of them where like a new fruit snack would be a part of it versus just, you know, the general food array of like the yellow, purple, red, orange fruit snacks that you get in all of them.
Okay.
The thing that most people remember about this and that I still love and I can't, they don't exist anymore. The shark bites do, but this particular portion of the fruit snack does not exist.
Okay.
Which is the great white muffuck shark. Which that was my way of not cursing, but also
you can
kind of saying.
Say muffin.
Good. The great white muffin shark.
There.
So the great white muffin shark, unlike all of the others, which are a kind of a translucent red or, you know, basically like a normal fruit snack, they're just like, no, this thing is opaque. It is sheet white, and for whatever reason, it is the most delicious piece of candy or anything you will ever place in your mouth, which was a real shame because you bought a pack. There was no guarantee you even got one. If you got more than one in a pack, it was a legendary moment.
You would have to call someone if that happened.
It's like, I got two. I need to share. Come over. Yeah. So... Like, I would literally eat one pack and then, like, open another one if there wasn't a shark in it.
That's not the worst thing I've heard people do.
Yeah. So, but like I mentioned, they were kind of special, different ones. They had this period of time where they had shark tooth in there, which honestly were almost as good, if not better, than the white sharks. But they were a very limited time thing they didn't have for long. Basically, every time that they would get a special thing, they would punt the white sharks, which was a bummer. Mm-hmm. But it was also amazing. The new add-ins were always amazing, too. So some of the specials include the big great white shark tooth and, of course, the ferocious tiger shark, which is an opaque orange and white striped fruit snack, which does look pretty dope and also was super amazing. So I don't know. I love these things so much because they were like the ultimate addition to a snack, like, you know, a bag lunch at school.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Or anything like that. Basically though, most of the time I would just freaking destroy them at home because you get a pack of six of them and I'm like, well, they're half gone immediately. So
yeah, before you even are done unloading the car, gone. Absolutely.
And I did want to play something. I forgot I pulled it up.
Okay.
So let's just play a quick commercial from Mr. and Mrs. Shark Bites.
Just when you thought it was safe to eat shark bites. Dismissed. Shark bites fruit snacks. You've got to eat them before they eat you. He's big and he's back. The great white shark. Now in marked boxes of
hell
shark
yeah,
bites.
He is. Okay.
Cool.
So
I like when my food threatens me back.
I know. Like I was gonna say that you probably couldn't see what was going on in the commercial, but it was just like man, like, I almost got murdered multiple times by a shark, but that's okay because I'm going to eat them. Like,
it's totally fine.
Like, one was swimming out of the water and just, like, grabbed the shark and it just shrunk and then he just ate it. And I was like, that was like a real shark and it just turned into a fake shark and he ate it, which is
kind of... Don't worry about it. Science.
A little graphic. So, yeah, shark bites, they're rad.
I seem to remember them as being, like, matte-colored shapes or, like they were... Most fruit snacks, if I recall correctly, are... kind of like semi-transparent. This one, they all seemed, like you said, kind of like opaque, like you couldn't really see through them. And I think that, to me, am I misremembering this?
Not all of them. I mean, like, most of the colored ones, I will say they were a little bit harder to see through than some, but for the most part, the other fruit snacks, like the generic fruit snacks that came with everyone, were clear. Not clear, but, you know, translucent. Hard to see through, but you could still see through them a little bit. But then there was always the special piece, whether it be the great white shark, tiger shark, or the tooth, or whatever was added in there. Those were always opaque.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so here's a picture of... Yeah.
I'm going to get my nom on.
I wish I could say I remember getting a great white. I probably did, but given the sign of the times of where we were, I don't think I would have even noticed that I'd eaten one before it was already.
Here's the thing. I don't know when they stopped. Like, because it's not one of those things where I'm like, I remember I ate one pack in 1991, then I ate a pack in 1991 again, and then there's no memory of exact dates or time of date of them. I just know at some point I was like, hey, I haven't had one of these things in a very long time.
And then when I went, they
were not the same.
Not the same.
They're not the same. I mean, they really, like, they changed the recipe and everything like that. That wasn't being clever.
Damn.
So it was like, I want to make these bad. What happened was, to the great white sharks, my apologies, was that they were removed by Betty Crocker because they entirely scrapped them due to the fact that they couldn't use artificial colors anymore.
Womp, womp, womp.
And apparently, opaque ones, they can only do that way. So they decided, like, we just won't make good fruit snacks anymore.
Yeah, time to just haul in the trash.
Sorry,
just,
gang.
Damn. Well, thank you for some shark bites remembrances.
Yeah.
That's a word.
Like I said, that was old Drunkle Andy just saying, like, you guys remember fucking shark bites? Man, that shit was good. And they're like, Drunkle Andy, can I leave? You're going to sit down and listen to me reminisce on this shit. It's
like, we're trying to drink LaCroix but and Daddy, eat avocado toast.
Daddy normally gives us a lot more well-thought-out and note-types examples of things. Well, not I'm Drunkle. Not your dad. Or maybe I am.
This is turning out to be a mystery.
The saga of Drunkle Andy and these children that no one knows about. So...
Oh, right. Boy.
The end of the
thing. The end. Those are our things. We are going to take a quick break, and we will come back with our court case and other things.
Yep.
So, all right. See you guys in a few.
All right. Goodbye.
Hey, 90s Court listeners. Lisa here. I'm here to talk to you really quickly about a product that I absolutely love and I've used every single day for years and years and years. Let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. Perhaps you're miserable because your partner snores like crazy. Or maybe you're a night shift worker who can't get proper sleep during the day. Or maybe you live in a really loud and busy downtown area. There's hope for you, and it comes in the form of sleep phones from Acoustic Sheep. I'm not lying when I say I've been using them religiously for years, and they're the sole reason I'm not a crazy person suffering from insomnia. Sleep phones are just ultra-soft headphones and a headband that are extremely bed-friendly. Side sleepers can also rejoice, for you can comfortably block out the sounds of the world while getting some soothing, noise-free sleep without hurting your ears. They even have wireless Bluetooth options, so you don't get tangled up in cords overnight. I personally connect mine to my phone each night and listen to some white noise to drown out my partner's snores. I'm telling you, I've gifted them to night shift nurses, in-laws, basically anybody with ears that values a good night's sleep. They even have options now that come preloaded with binaural beats or deeply relaxing ASMR content. So you can find something that's just right for you and maybe not even have to connect to your phone at all if you don't want to. Andy and I both use these now, and we'd love to help you get some rest too. Go to sleepphones.com and use the code 90scourt to get $10 off your order of $39 or more. That's sleepphones.com, and the code is 90scourt. Sweet dreams.
Hello, and welcome back to 90s Court. It's part 2 of episode 66. All the details are coming at you real fast. Are you going to be able to catch up?
No, I'm just going to let you keep going.
Are you just going to let me keep going? That's fine. That seems reasonable. So, yeah, last week, Andy, we had a bit of a different scenario.
Yeah, last week, as you guys recall, we had Y2K versus humanity. Now, I don't need to tell you that Y2K did, in fact, win. And here's how I know. So there wasn't actually polls that went out because Y2K destroyed those immediately. However, it did also warp our files. So
yes.
When the episode was released, somehow magically it just was like, the last 3 minutes, we'll just punt that. And you guys,
can I tell you, I know what happened.
What happened?
It was user error. I was trying to upload it. I was trying to upload it to Anchor before it was done exporting from Audacity. So it was like, what was that, 97% completed whenever I uploaded. I just didn't notice because I was like, the one time we didn't check the episode at the end.
I know, like, my bad. it was a long episode, so I was just like listening, like I think I listened to like 3/4 of it that night, and then the next morning I was like, So anyway, so poll results. Listen, sometimes you talk a big game about getting the poll out this week, and sometimes you just don't do the thing you said you were going to do. So let's just say it was a landslide and the good guys won.
Bada. Okay, we did it.
We did it. Anyways.
Humanity.
That's not why you guys came here anyways. So something just came across my desk, and it's a little card. Oh, a booster pack.
Oh.
How fun. What terms that terms that Lisa knows for sure.
Definitely. I know.
Dorfinitely.
Dorfinitely. I know too much about what you're talking about. Please help me, Andy.
Oh, to not talk about it anymore? So the court case. Let me tell you about what the court case is this week. For those of you who did not read the name of the episode or just need a reminder, this is Magic the Gathering cards versus Pokemon cards. We're kind of thinking about, you know, different collectibles and things like that, and we hadn't done toys in a while. And so we were talking about Pokemon cards, and I was like, when did Magic start? And I was like, surely it had to be in the 90s, and I was right, it did. So I'm very excited to be able to talk about this one because I actually played this game and I'm a well-known documented nerd. So I have some things to talk about. So I'm going to go first. How's that sound? Ooh,
that sounds awesome. Please. Okay. Take the floor, Andy.
All right. So first off, let me just say, Pokemon cards are for baby children.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm not even going to talk about Magic the Gathering. I'm just going to throw shade at Pokemon cards for 30 minutes.
For what it's worth, you're not wrong.
Okay.
Okay. We're on the same page. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I honestly don't know like anything about Pokemon cards. This is the crazy thing to me, Lisa, is that you and I are the biggest Pokemon nerds on the planet.
Are we?
We're pretty up there. Okay, I'm very high on the list as far as like loving the game. I even really like the show. Mm-hmm. But again, that was all original, like 151 and everything like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that I just never played this game, like I think it was because it was very public and like there were so many things that were just immediately not cool in my school.
It was public and that you had to admit that you were like, oh yeah, like I definitely have like some of these cards at home. Is
like
that
people, because then if people know that you play, if anyone knows you play, then they'll just like mention it at school, and somebody will hear that conversation. This is how self conscious I was back in high school.
Aww.
So, anyways, but that being said, I did play Magic the Gathering, which wasn't much better. So,
right,
Magic the Gathering. So, just to give you guys a quick rundown on what this is. So, first off, you know it's Pokemon cards, I know a lot of people, some people will just had gotten the cards, collect the cards and things like that, and maybe sell them for high prices.
You don't know my life.
I've heard a lot of people talk about that. I don't know of many people that I've talked to that have played it, so I can't just talk about that. But Magic the Gathering, like, yes, you would buy some really nice cards, some expensive cards, maybe collect some as well. But generally speaking, if you have them, you're going to play the game because the game is good.
Okay.
So Magic the Gathering was originally created in 1993. It was through Wizards of the Coast, but a man by the name of... I lost his first name. Let me get that pulled up here.
His first name was Magic.
His Magic to the Gathering. Garfield. Let me see. Richard. Let's see. What was your first name? This is super important. Dr. Richard Garfield, which I know I've heard that name a million times because, you know, he's... the maker of the entire game, basically. Mm-hmm. So he was working with Wizards of the Coast, which mainly at that time was into like role-playing games, Dungeons and Dragons, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, originally was thinking about a board game, but then ended up just one day, you know, walking out and showing them these cards and presenting them with like their first edition of the game. And it was super basic at the time, but pretty much the rules are very similar to what they are now, despite having been around for, what is that, 24 years, 27 years?
Sounds about right.
Wow, math, 27.
I know.
So as far as basically how the game works, if you're going to play. So first off, the cards you'll get, there will be a name of the card at the top. There will be a picture that is like illustrating either the creature that you're talking about, the land, the enchantment, whatever it happens to be. And I'll go over those in a moment.
Okay.
And then it'll be a cost at the top of like how much it costs to play that. And so you have things that are called land in this game where you tap those and then that produces mana, which again, this is like, it was confusing to me even when I wanted to play the game, let alone describing to people that have never played. But
right.
Basically you pay a certain amount given what cards you have on the playing field essentially, and you can then play that card if you have enough sufficient mana to play it. So so as far as the types of cards, there are land, as I mentioned. That's the stuff you tap to make mana to play creatures or cast spells. You have creatures, which are basically things that go out on the battlefield and will fight for you or block for you. There are enchantments, which sometimes are attached to a creature directly and give it like some buffs or something.
Okay.
Or it's on the playing field and it just has a general effect on everything. Like all creatures get this, or only these creatures get this, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's artifacts, which can range from various things. Basically, they can be creatures or they can be similar to enchantments, but they're colorless, meaning that you don't have to have a specific color of mana to do it. You can just use any color.
Okay.
Because in this game, there are 5 colors of the game. God, I hate this. It's one of those things where it probably sounds like not that weird when I'm talking about it, but it feels so like weird as I'm talking about it, because I have not ever had to explain Magic the Gathering to people that are listening to 90s Court.
That's probably true. That's probably a weird sensation.
So they created this game back in 93, and it basically just crushed immediately. Like, they had, like, no money to do anything, so they were going to these different cons to, like, present the game and stuff, and pretty much immediately when they finally went to this Gen Con, which is a convention in Indianapolis, some guy, like, took them to dinner and basically, you know, got them, like, a $40,000 startup to get things moving, because they were doing this and they were working, you know, in tandem with Wizards of the Coast, but Wizards of the Coast wasn't immediately like, fuck yeah, let's get that shit and we'll give you money for it.
Okay.
That's
interesting, because in my head, from the research I did for my card game, it seemed to me like, what was it called? West Coast Wizards, Wu-Tang Wizards, of the West Side. It seemed to me like that would be 1,000,000% like up their alley, and this was like the only thing. I could be totally wrong.
It's just, and it's funny now in retrospect, because that's just, like I said, back in that time, they were so focused on role-playing games like D&D and various other role-playing games that they create, that like playing card games just weren't really their jam.
Okay.
But the insane thing now is that, I don't know what percentage, I couldn't find this the number for you, but at least from what I know is from going to gaming stores, which I love, and I support local gaming stores as much as I can. If you guys ever buy stuff, I know it's probably a little cheaper on Amazon, but please support your local game store, buy some dice, you know, buy some cards, whatever. Despite the fact that now, today, you know, in this time, like, I'm still a nerd, but I play D&D mostly. I don't play with any cards anymore at this point. But Magic the Gathering cards, basically, is probably like 50% of their income.
Interesting.
Because it's these packs will be like, you know, $4.95 or something like that for a pack at a shop. And, you know, people have to buy a ton of these to get a reasonable amount of cards, because it's like 15 cards a pack for like $5. And so people are buying all this shit. It's like, you know, they're selling like, you know, 10 packs to one kid, you know, when they come in, or more. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they kind of crush it. And as far as that goes, and it is funny in retrospect that they weren't like super high on it at the moment. But it ended up working out greatly for them. Mm-hmm. So as far as the colors that I talked about, so there's different colors in the game, of cards. And so essentially there's, red cards. There's a red or, mountain. God, that's
red
great for
means
me.
Mountain.
So mountain. So basically mountain, you have a land called a mountain, and it produces red mana. And then you have a thing called a swamp, which creates black mana. And then you have a thing called a forest, which creates green mana.
Okay.
A plains, which creates white mana. And an island, which creates blue mana. And so certain cards will require certain colors of magic to be played. So like it'll say like it costs one blue mana and then four colorless. So that means it can be any color. So each kind of card just has its own kind of different vibe that it has. So like red is a lot about like instantly damaging things, you know, being fast and getting in there quick. Forest or green is about big, sturdy, heavy creatures and, you know, buffing them up and making them really big. White is about, I don't know, they have some pretty good stuff. It's like kind of an array on white, but they've got like about healing a lot of the times. They've got stuff about like a lot of really small creatures and ways to get those out very quickly. Black is about destruction, obviously a lot of death. They have a lot of killing spells and things like that where you can kill other creatures instantly.
That sounds right.
And blue is like very intelligent and tricky stuff, including like counter spells, which is basically the most the most annoying thing in the entire game, which is basically where you just, I don't know, back when I was a kid, when I was playing originally, like that was the most amazing, horrifying thing was when you're like, I'm going to play this big spell that I've been waiting this entire game to play. And they're just like, nah, fam, I counter that. And you're like, oh, cool. Well, never mind. Fuck me, I guess.
Does it, whenever someone does that mean you in turn accept damage? Or does that nothing happens?
Yeah, you don't take damage. Basically, like, I was going to play this big card.
Okay.
And basically, they'll just have this thing that is like, no, you don't. Because then it goes away and I can't use the spell anymore, or like this big creature that I was about to drop.
So that's the like, I'm rubber, you are glue, whatever you cast at me, I just throw it in
the fucking dumpster, exactly.
Okay. That would be annoying.
So as far as the breakdown, so they've had obviously like a fuck ton of expansions and stuff like throughout the years as far as what, you know, like the different versions of the game. And I'm going to get those pulled up here because I randomly didn't have them pulled up here.
That's all good.
Expansions.
That's magic.
That's just magic for
that's
you, you know?
It's just magic happening live on the show.
And I'll tell you what, like, one of the cool things for me was that, like, remembering back on this game was when I first started playing, like, it was, like, 1999 or 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, like, you know, of course, a lot of friends got me into the game and people who've been playing for years were already doing it. And so, like, I remember just, like, I didn't have a very good understanding of what cards were good. I was just like, wow, that creature's really big. I want it. and so I would end up trading away all these, like, because my friends are nice. Like, they're good people. But, like, if I accept a trade, they're not going to feel bad about it whenever it completely rips me off. So, like, I just remember, like, at least for the first, like, year, like, I was just trading. I found out after the fact that I traded away so much fucking money worth of just, expensive cards.
Thanks, friends.
Yeah, so it was super cool of them. So as far as the way that it's released, so, you know, like I said, they release new versions of cards and keep it fresh all the time. Like, you know, there's certain things now over the past, like, several years that are new types of cards and new features that weren't existent at the time that I was playing. So they add different things. They have each edition has a storyline behind it.
Okay.
Like, I never looked into, like, any of that, but you could buy, like, these entire books, like, about the backstory of the thing. I'm just like, I just like the cards and the pictures and that they kill people. So
pretty.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's how I would have played this game.
Yeah.
Had I ever played it.
And I forgot to mention, so basically it's that you're, like, how the game works is you're trying to kill your opponent, basically. So I'm playing against Lisa, so, like, you can play creatures and do spells and everything like that. But if I get through your defenses, I hit you or I damage you directly, and you usually start with 20 hit points and go, you know, once you go down to zero, you're gone. So,
okay.
So as far as the way that they came out, like, they started out in 93, of course, where they had Alpha Edition, Beta Edition, and Unlimited Edition, which those ones are ones where I had a few friends that played during those times, and they had these cards because the cards from those series, because there were so few of them and they were so old, mm-hmm. And so people weren't playing a lot, were worth, like, they are so broken. The cards are so much just, they're just instantly better than every other card you can have. Like, just patently just better. So it's like unfair advantage to even have some of them. And so they're obviously worth like hundreds of dollars. Like, I'm sure there's probably some that are worth thousands, but I don't know about what those cards are specifically. And so basically, like, every year they would come out with more and more different editions. So like when I started, sixth edition, had just come out, which is, they have actual editions, which is kind of like, here's some starting more basic cards that you'll be more familiar with and to get you started playing the game. Mm-hmm. But then they have expansions that they have, three of every year or so, like a year and a half, where they have, those are the ones usually with the cooler storylines. They'll have a little bit more complex cards, that are more interesting and more sexy. And those are the ones that usually when you think of Magic, you think of those more so than like, you know, seventh edition type of things. So, So basically that, and then there was like, Mercadian Masks and Invasion and Plane Shift and Apocalypse.
Mercadian Masks. Yeah. That sounds rad.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the names of these and the backstories. Mm-hmm. I at least got a general grasp of what was going on in the backstory, but it didn't really come up in, you know, when I'm playing a game and just trying to kill somebody. So it was a super fun game. You know, it's one of those things that is a combination of luck and skill. And I will tell you from firsthand account, there is a lot of skill involved in this as far as deck construction and having just better cards than other people. Because, you know, I would just get fucking worked by some of my friends like all the time. And I did play in a few tournaments only because my friends were doing it. And so I was like, all right, fine.
That's a peer pressure for you.
Yeah. I will say this. At the time, at least, when I was like younger and I was going to this one particular gaming store that we always went to, I was like, just one of those things where like the people smell bad. And like, you know, it's just, and that's the thing. It's like, that's not the case at most gaming stores. That was just the one that I went to. And so like, I was scarred off of gaming stores for a long time after my initial run with that, because like, all the people were super unpleasant and weren't very, you know, and that's just because they were socially awkward and stuff like that. But it was just a bad start for me with gaming stores. But since then, of course, you know, I'm a big fan, and I go there pretty frequently. There's more normal people than you'd expect that would be there. And apparently, you know, that's kind of a judgmental thing to say because I'm not very normal either. So, So Magic is super rad. They've been going on for years. It's a fun game. They have all these different modes and stuff you could play of that I couldn't even possibly get started in talking about, like different ways of playing the game. One of the cool things that I remember for a long time were these things called booster drafts, where somebody would buy an entire box of booster packs, which is like 36. Because sometimes online, at least back in the day, you could get super cheap booster boxes. So like where a pack would normally cost $4 in person, you can instead get this thing where if you buy 36 of them, it's like $2.75 per pack.
Hey.
And then you basically, this thing where you each get three packs of new cards, and then you basically pass them around to people that are playing, and you all have to make your own deck just with those cards that were provided to you. So those were always fun because it kind of leveled the playing field, because it didn't make it so like, oh, I have better cards than you, so I win. You know, so.
Right.
So it was kind of a little more fun there, but. So I don't know, like I said, it's, I feel bad because there's so much stuff I'd love to talk about, that's so cool about this thing, but it's just, it's too much. It's too much to possibly cover everything about Magic the Gathering, but it's a dope game. And like I said, it sells like crazy. People spend thousands of dollars a year on it, you know, it's no joke.
I would love to, if there isn't already, and I'm sure there is, and I hope there is, there should be a dating thing around this called like Dating the Gathering or something.
Dating the Gathering? I'm sure there's fine nerd sites.
Well, yeah, but like, but in person, out of COVID time, where you're like, we all get together and we play, I don't know, I guess you can play Magic the Gathering. Is it, how many players can play? Two? Is it only two?
It's usually a two-player game. There's some formats where you can play four, like two, like teams or whatever, but usually it's one-on-one.
So that's for the polyamory crowd. Yeah. Crowd, that's the word. Yeah, okay.
I will say, so I'm looking through right now the some of the most rare and expensive cards. I think the top one they've got here Let's see. Number one is worth so fucking much. Black Lotus, which
that
is currently
rad.
Valued between $16,380 and $20,000. So I was a little low on my initial guess.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just like, it's super broken because it's just, it costs zero and then you just, you know, sacrifice it and get three mana. Like, it's just, it's an unfair card. I can't explain to you why that's unfair, but it just is, so.
Just is, so deal with it, yeah. Everybody.
So, anyways, Magic, the end.
Magic, the end. Well, thank you for any kind of insight to that, because I've never encountered it in the wild or heard anything about it, so thank you for that. So today I'm talking about something I was interested in from a collector standpoint, but had absolutely zero experience with in actual any other sense. Like I thought I understood it, but upon watching several tutorials of it the weekend, I realized I had no idea what was happening outside of just being like, what a pretty Pokemon card. Like, that's it. So let's do this together, shall we?
Yes.
Let's go on a stroll, shall we?
Let's take a stroll, shall we?
Let's take a stroll, shall we? As we listen to Lisa, who's never played this game, try to explain it to you as best she can after interpreting everything from some YouTube tutorials. Okay, so the card game was released in Japan in October of 1996 and then released in the U.S. in December of 1998. And it was initially published by Wizards of the Coast, the company that made Magic the Gathering. Familiar. It is a collectible card game and that you can aim to get your hands on some really unique or rare Pokemon cards, which we'll get into a little bit later. But before we get into collecting,
are any of them worth $20,000?
Oh baby, don't look it up. We're going to talk about this.
Okay, cool,
but don't look it up. Let's talk gameplay, and again, I'll do this to the best of my ability because this is way out of my wheelhouse. All right, so the premise is that you play as a Pokemon trainer, as you'd see in the shows or in any of the Nintendo games or whatever, but this is a competitive card game setting. And so the deck provided included basic Pokemon cards, trainer cards, and energy cards. And so you then draw 7 cards from your shuffle deck.
Yep, same.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were talking, I was like, this sounds familiar.
And the energy cards are basically land cards from what it sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, that's what I got, yeah. And so you would play one basic Pokemon card onto the field. This is your active I typed Pokemon on accident,
I was it a mistake though?
It was a mistake at first, but then I really liked it, and so for many other notes it just says Pokemon. So your active Pokemon attacks and receives damage during the gameplay and can get its ass kicked by the opposing player's active Pokemon. So you would then use energy cards to charge up your pocket monster to attack the other pocket monster. Isn't
okay,
that
yeah,
what Pokemon
so
came
that's
from?
Yeah, this sounds a little bit different than my than land then in that case, but
yeah so you would use the energy card. So wait, well no, we'll talk about that. Don't go too fast, Lisa.
Okay.
So each player takes the top 6 cards in their deck and sets them aside as the prize cards that you would dole out one by one as you deal enough damage to knock out the other player's active Pokemon. So if you there are 6 just whatever cards on that person's deck, and then if you knock theirs out, you get one of those cards. You get to choose it, and then it's just something.
Do you keep it or just for the game?
I don't know.
Because I forgot to mention it because it was just like it felt unnecessary to mention it near the end. But like, I know initially when Richard Garfield made the game of Magic, he was like, we're going to they included in like the first few editions, like rules about how like you had to gamble cards. Like you basically every game, like it was like not a requirement, but it was basically like, yeah, this is part of the game, is whoever wins like gets to take one card from the other player. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I you know, really thinking about this, I think it would have to be like a verbal agreement between you and whomever you're playing with.
Yeah.
Like, are we playing for keeps or are we playing for just this round, right?
Yeah, they later decided like, oh, we can't do that because it's literally gambling, so we have to change it. So they had to change it to like, you can if you want, but like nobody really does that.
Right. Okay, interesting.
Sorry, continue.
Interesting. No. So you, in addition to that, each player also has up to five other Pokemon cards on the bench waiting to step in the event that your active Pokemon
put
is
me
screwed.
In, Coach.
Yeah, put me in. I'm Voltorb.
Oh
I've
God,
got
Voltorb.
I know. Yeah,
you're just gonna go in there and explode Voltorb when you all
That's
know.
That's all
it.
You're gonna do. He's like, and then I'm out. I'm one and done. So you could also evolve your Pokemon if your active Pokemon has been up for a round.
What?
And then you have the proper next stage evolution of Pokemon. So if you had like Squirtle out there, but then you had, is it Wartortle?
Wartortle. So if you just like had him in your hand, you could do that?
Yes, you could then evolve him. Yes.
Okay.
So let's see. So where am I? So from an attack standpoint, you can also receive a status condition. I feel like I have more notes than this. Where is? Oh. Well, oh, I'll talk about it. Oh, no. This is it right here, actually. So from an attack standpoint, you can also receive a status condition of burn, confusion, paralysis, poison, and sleep. So those are things that your Pokemon can receive.
Sick burn.
Such sick burns. And then there are also traits. So this is close. There are also trainer cards that help in other ways. So there would be like supporter trainer cards, which would let you draw more cards or find some specific ones.
Yes.
There are item cards, which can help give you an effect in the game. And then there are stadium cards, which provide like unique effects that help or hinder each player. Okay.
I'm assuming they have to have probably like, I mean, some of those just like potions and shit in the game, like, you know, potion or revive or, or yes. Some of the other shit.
Yeah, I'll talk about that just
Repel.
A second. Repel. Ooh, I didn't...
Which wouldn't make sense in that game. You're not trying to get away from wild Pokemon, so...
You could just be like, this is useless, and you just throw it at the person and be like, I repel you. I don't want to be your friend anymore.
You just fucking knock out, like, fucking Machamp cold with the fucking potion in the dome.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's talk winning the game, okay? Ooh. If a player draws all of their prize cards, they win. If a player knocks out all of their opponent's Pokemon, they win. Or if at any time a player goes to draw a card and cannot, they lose. So there are three ways to win the game. Yeah. So
the draw card thing is also part of Magic as well. I just forgot to mention it.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I'm glad I could bring a little memory up there. So I did download a version of the game on my MacBook and played it last night. And I kept winning, but it was purely by accident. It was by accident. Well, but it was also like baby level where they're like, you've got a good Pokemon. They're like, we've got air or I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I always call it like, this is an old thing, but this is like a reference from Perfect Dark is Meat Sims. I think I might have even talked about this at one
Meat
point.
Sims.
Meat Sims, because like you can play against like computers or whatever in that. Because basically it's like, you know, it's basically GoldenEye just slightly advanced. And yeah, like Meat Sims were these ones where they just were completely impotent. Like they're just like you. It would be shocking and amazing if they could kill you, like because they just miss so much. So that's what I use Meat Sims as the comparison of like, oh, you're playing a Meat Sim.
I see. I don't like the Pokemon that the computer were playing had higher HP than myself, and so it felt like I was up against a bit of a challenge, but I just kept fucking getting energy cards and throwing them on my, so like I had an Electabuzz. That was my guy.
Ooh.
And your girl was on fire.
You're playing against all those Caterpies and Metapods.
Who was I? They kept throwing out I think there was like a Gengar. And the nice thing was that at least for the first like six rounds, it was all the original Pokemon. So it was like, nice. I recognize you. And then once I leveled up, they're like, okay, here comes the new shit. I was like,
nope.
No. I want to go back to the stuff I remember.
I don't want to fight this animated refrigerator or whatever the fuck.
Get it, refrigy. I chill things. Here's my attack mode is chill.
Lisa, this is the crazy thing. I said that as a joke. I have that 100% could legitimately be like based on some of the stuff I've heard about the new Pokemon.
Frigie, I believe it. I flippin' believe it. By downloading this, I will say I did learn a lot about playing the game. I kept playing it over and over again, and I was able to hold my own in person in the moment, but I will say that I think I'd get confused on playing it in person because they're doing the math for the HP hits and stuff, that was a lot. And like,
sure.
Honestly, if given the chance to play it in person, I would probably just yell Thundershock repeatedly until the other person just got up and left.
Thunderbolt. tell you this. There's nothing that people appreciate more than playing a game like that they're super like kind of like self-conscious about and having people just not take it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I like playing board games, but there are more intense board games that are more...
Oh, for sure. Like Catan?
Yes. People have tried and just like, listen, you lost me at instructions. Like,
sheep.
I just wasn't... I would like to play Guess Who or go to bed. Like, that's what I would like to do tonight, please. So the other thing that we wanted to talk about was the collector side of this game. Well, let's talk shop about that. The three most valuable cards
to
ever.
Let me, before we start, I want to know, because this was just when I was in high school. Like, okay. I always heard about it. And still even was holographic Charizard was always the
number three.
He's on the list, though. Woo!
Yeah, 99 first edition holographic Charizard card. BGS 10. Don't know what that means. That card sold in 2017 for $55,000, $650.
What?
I know. You're like, I had
what?
One. I wish I hadn't used mine as a coaster for all the.
I thought I was a sticker, Dr. so Pepper. I just peeled it right off.
Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding.
Number two, 1997 trophy Pikachu trainer card. Estimated value at this time is $75,000 to $100,000 plus.
What?
And number one, the Pokemon Illustrator card is sold in 2019 for a whopping $224,000, $250. Ooh, okay. I said that wrong. $224,250.
Back right the fuck up. What kind of card was this?
The Pokemon Illustrator card. This one is a design that came in from a Japanese manga magazine illustration contest, in which entrants submitted their own unique designs and attacks, and only they had some recipients, and only 39 copies were distributed to the contest winners. So I think the illustrator card was, there was like one entry selected, if I'm understanding correctly, and that was the one.
Oh, it's just the only one.
One of 39.
I was going to say, it had to be like super rare, because like for something to be worth that much over a time frame of like, like 20 years. Like, it's not even that old, you know? Like, and here's the thing that's crazy to me, though, is even thinking back on Magic cards, I remember thinking about, like, the cards that were super expensive, that, like, were super hard to find or something like that, that were so broken, as being, like, I just assumed they were, like, 20 years old or something like that. But in actuality, they were probably, like, 7 years old.
Yeah, just not that. But can we just, Andy, for just a moment, this Illustrator card, it sold for $224,250. That's
a big
number. That's a nice house in some parts of the country. How's your buyer's remorse, buddy?
I mean,
how's your buyer's remorse?
You don't know his life. I mean, if he's a billionaire, that's nothing.
He or she. Or
he
they,
or she. Yeah.
Or they, whatever. It just...
It was more so, it wasn't about the amount of money. It was more so just me assuming that only a man would buy something as stupid as that.
I just can't imagine. I mean, you'd be like, the exhilaration of being like, I got it. I finally got it. And then you've got this card and you're like, fuck, that's a house.
So it is. Yeah, it appears it is a Pikachu with a feather and a pen.
Yes.
All in Japanese.
It's pretty.
And that's it.
Cool. $224,000.
Yeah.
Neat. Yeah. Super cool. Listen, to each their own. If that's your thing to collect and spend that much money, and if you have it to burn, by all means. If that was like your parents' money that they set aside for you for college, that's a bummer. But you do you. That's your own life. I personally had
so disappointed.
I personally had a few cards myself, most of which I cannot remember, but I did have a Raichu, my beloved one and only favorite Pokemon. I did. And I realize now after playing this game that my Raichu was kind of useless if I didn't actually have Pikachu himself, which I don't think I did. So basically,
so it's like a requirement to not, so.
If I'm understanding correctly, I don't think you can play just Raichu. I think you would have to have the Pikachu and then evolve to Raichu in order to play.
I just pulled up Raichu's card.
So beefy.
His move that he can do is Thunder, is flip a coin. If tails, Raichu does 30 damage to itself. So do you also still do the 60? Or I guess you don't know. But anyways,
in one of the ones I saw last night in playing there, I mean, the opponent I was playing was like, they would do the tail flip thing and they'd be like, boom, something on me. And then boom, one of their benched Pokemons would incur damage, and I was like, don't know what just happened here, but
just
I'm
fucking Jerry sitting on the bench just getting fucked up. He's like, what do I do?
I'm just a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat. Please. So basically what I did in the 90s was I had this one single card that I loved, and that was it. That was my experience with Pokemon trading cards. But I did play it yesterday. My kids watched me play it. I kind of want to play it again tonight just because I'm feeling lucky against a computer that seems inept. So
yeah,
That's my part of the court case, baby. Yeah,
it is fun though, like looking through some of these different cards from Magic mm-hmm. too. Is just like, because like I still have like this huge tin box that has a ton of cards in it. Like I think maybe like 5 years ago I sold off a fuck ton of cards, like any card that was worth like anything.
I see.
So I obviously had some that were worth like, you know, $75 or something like that, but most of them were within the, you know, singles to teens
right.
on that. But yeah, it was fun, and looking through the old pictures and stuff like that is dope. And, you know, like I said, it is such an expensive, like, because like Dungeons and Dragons, you get like the starter book or whatever, and you don't really mm-hmm. need to get anything else besides that if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And then a set of dice, and then that's it. And then, meanwhile, Magic the Gathering, it's like, well, I need to buy 47 booster packs and 3 expansion packs in the next 2 months if I want to stay competitive. It's just ridiculous. But again, it's a great game.
People love to spend money on their hobbies. This is one of those things. So,
which is funny. I can complain about that. Now I actually have like plenty of money to have a hobby like this. But I'm like, nah.
Pass. Hard pass.
Yeah, hard and they pass. Do also have the online version as well, similar to Pokemon.
Interesting. Well, go play them online, guys, and if you want to. And then, of course, if you want to, we're going to have polls up on Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, and Twitter, which you can vote on to let us know which of these card games mm-hmm. you would be interested in playing us in. I think I would take someone on online. Maybe
I
want to
be the very best.
The most mediocreist alive. Listen. Let's go ahead and round the show out, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's tell you where to find us. If you want to get your votes in, like I said, check us out on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court or on Instagram at 90s.court. As always, if you want to support the show and get some bonus content and shout outs, hop on patreon.com/90s Court. And as always, we would love if you were to leave us some nice 5-star ratings or reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. That would make us so happy.
So happy. Want to touch the hiney.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Andy. I was going there, but I didn't finish it. Thank you for doing that. So that is episode 66. We will be back next week with episode 67. And
maybe you'll get Dad Andy next week instead of Drunkle. So
there's no telling what we're going to get from week to week. Andy, do you have any final thoughts? I could ask.
Cards.
Cards. Deal with it, people. We love you guys. Thank you. Bye. We love you.
Stay rad.